The chair begs you to bear with me for a few moments while I take off the chairman's role and speak to you as your re-elected president. Is my good friend Dr. Menicky here? Yes, he is. My brothers and sisters in Christ, all of us are very much aware that there has been a great deal of concern in this convention about the behavior of some in the church, and perhaps all of us in some way, about what we popularly refer to as politicking or various kinds of trying to ways of advancing our own interests or the interests of people with whom we're associated. We've heard former President Preuss speak rather candidly on some of the issues. The chair at one point somewhat lost his cool about the circulation of a list. Others have offered motions from the floor that the chair declined to present to you because I felt they would be disruptive. And yet the buzzing goes on in the hallways. We all feel somewhat uncomfortable about some of the concerns that we are hearing. I shared this concern with the Council of Presidents in a noonday meeting earlier this week, and came to realize that the council members, by and large, share those concerns as well, and want our dear Synod to find ways of healing where we need healing, of addressing the procedural questions that some of these activities raise, and so on. And I'd like to ask the chairman of the council, Dr. August Menicky, to report to you briefly on the council's way of handling this matter. And when he finishes, then I'd like to say a few words of acceptance. Dr. Menicky, would you assume this microphone, please? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to thank you again for the high honor you have bestowed upon me in renewing my pastoral call to serve as your president, and for doing it at a time when the context, I think, made it somewhat doubtful that you might do it. Doing it on a first ballot with a margin of several votes over the next candidate in that context has made me feel that there is indeed wide support in the church for the vision of the kind of synod God has given us the opportunity to be. When I assumed this office in 1981, I pledged that I and my colleagues in the administration would attempt to serve the whole church fairly, evangelically, faithfully, and lovingly. The accent was on serving, to serve, not to direct. It was to serve the whole church, particularly in a time of healing that we were very much involved in those days. But it was the whole church that I wanted to serve, and I wanted to do it fairly, according to the rules of the game that we have adopted for our life and walk together. Above all, I wanted to do it evangelically, with the gospel, the evangel of Christ's forgiveness, clearly providing the beacon light all along the way. To do it faithfully, that is, following God's word, following the policies and directives of this church body, and then to do it lovingly. Not fearing an embrace, a word of kindness, because I have long had the conviction that it is possible to be orthodox and kind at one and the same time. And that, in fact, orthodoxy and confessional Lutheranism embrace the second commandment, the fourth commandment, the eighth commandment, the fruits of the Spirit, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, patience, and the many other gifts and graces that come from God. I know that I have not succeeded in meeting my own expectations of myself, let alone yours, but I praise God for every little sign of progress, every little sign that you and I, though saints and sinners, unfortunately, all too often, nevertheless, really have tasted of the Lord that he is good, and we have begun to move and to walk together toward 2000 Alive in Christ mission. 5 years ago, I used three peg words to gather my thoughts about the goals of the Synod. They were the words confession, solidarity, and mission. Confession. We are a strong church in our doctrine and our confession of the Lord Jesus Christ on the basis of his word and the Lutheran confessional writings. We base everything we believe, teach, and confess on the Holy Scriptures as God's infallible word. And by God's good spirit, we know that that word has as its heart the good news of Jesus Christ. And that word in turn impels us toward our mission of bringing Christ to the nations. I believe that confessional strength of this church remains strong today. It's a beautiful, beautiful church in its preaching and teaching and confession. It's threatened, of course, this confession of ours. It gets threatened from the outside by the forces in the world in which we live. The tendency to compromise or weaken our confession of faith and doctrine are always around us. But the threat comes also from the inside of the church on occasion. Sometimes there are those within our fellowship who seek to change our confession or to ignore it or even to break it. And that needs our constant vigilance and concern. But sometimes that threat to our confession from the inside also comes when we, in moments of weakness, give an unattractive, legalistic kind of witness to our Lutheranism. In my judgment, it has been this great center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, not its left, not its right, but the great center that has helped to keep this church truly Lutheran, and that will need to be very strong in the coming years to make sure that this confession, which is our goal, continues to be a confession that is faithful to the Word of God. We're going to need to give continuing attention, for example, to the doctrine of the church and all that that means in terms of inter-Christian relationships, also within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Even the doctrine of the gospel itself needs our constant vigilance and attention. As long as 2 out of 5 Lutherans in this country continue to define the gospel as God's rules for right living, as recent data again underscore, our work is cut out for us if we want to remain a confessional church. But we must, and we will do it by God's grace. A second goal was solidarity. That was a word that was heard a lot in those days, 5 years ago, because of the experience of the Polish people especially, and it was a word I liked and still do, because it indicates not only unity, but strength in unity. We are a lovely church. Next to the Word of God and our doctrinal heritage, I think nothing is so beautiful as the people God has called together in our congregations and again in a gathering like this convention. I don't know about you, but the people of this convention, in my judgment, have been splendid. At the reception the other evening, as you poured your hearts out this morning for a brother and his family who were hurting, as you have mingled in the halls, have gone to the meals and meetings of this convention, but even as you have carried out your discussions and your debates within this convention, you have been disciplined, courteous, kind to one another, especially forgiving of the chair and all of those many mistakes that we make. This is so typical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We've tried to come together as a church in the last few years. We experienced tensions, as you know, in the 70s. Even a splinter left the Synod. There's still a lot of hurting people around. It's been a goal of mine and my colleagues to try to bring about healing. And I hope that we can continue to do that, because solidarity is a necessary thing in a body like ours. Organizationally, too, we needed it very badly and still do. The Missouri Synod is a collection of a whole bunch of autonomous units, each with its own powers and authorities and bylaws. We are a very decentralized church. Our congregations are autonomous. The secretary's amendment to his minutes a while ago emphasized that the congregation is autonomous, interdependent, but in some respects independent. And I have worked very hard along with the board of directors and vice presidents and others during the past 5 years to try to bring these different autonomous and independent units into closer cooperative working relationships. Some, of course, see that as centralization. I do not. I have not been and am not committed to centralization. But it seems to me that when you have limited resources and you have this great people in this synod that wants to move forward, it is neither godly nor faithful stewardship for us to war against each other, to become a church of we's and they's instead of a single unified church, solid in its commitment to one another as well as to the work God has given us. That too, brothers and sisters, along with confession, it seems to me, remains a goal for this church, to continue to work at our solidarity in terms of people relationships, but also in terms of our organizational goals, not for the sake of building authority, but for the sake of getting on with the mission. Well, I just used the word that was the third peg word, the word mission. It's not only that we are a strong confessional church and that we stand together in order to do something. And I guess every leader, whether he's of a parish or a district or a national organization, wants his organization to move, to go forward with the tremendous gospel we have and the great needs of the church. We've worked very hard at that in past years. I don't know how anyone can read a workbook or sit through a convention and listen to films about our people working on the agri-community crisis or watching the touching story of Big Joe and meeting him and hugging him and receiving that beautiful cross that man spent 6 months on those crosses with his bare hands making them for us, brothers and sisters in Christ, or to travel this great church body in this land and abroad and to see the hundreds of beautiful things the people of this church are doing in God's mission. And there's more to be done, a great deal more to be done. I'm excited about it, and I love the way you've responded to every challenge that has come our way in this convention to move forward in mission. That's why we're asking you and the whole church during the next couple of years to look at this question of financial resources. We have a lot of money in the Missouri Synod, and we are giving it and we're spending it. We've got to find ways to do it right so that it goes to the high priority items. We have tremendous people resources. But mission, getting the church moving even more dramatically than we are, remains my highest personal priority. I think there have been three chief achievements in this convention toward those goals. I believe the table talks that we tried, while they took some time and while they were too fast and there was too much, will yield something beyond our fondest expectations. We're only going to pass a little over half of our resolutions, but you folks who represent all of the congregations of this synod have sat together and identified together the things that those congregations and people need in these table talks. We're going to set the tone and the direction of the synod through what you did there, and you got to know each other in the process too. The listening process that we did there is something that's going to continue throughout this church during the coming 3 years. We're going to learn from surveys and listening to people what the people of this church really want, so that we understand when we come into the next convention just where our people are and what they want us to do in service to them. Well, it sounds like a tall order. I'm so glad that you have elected officers who can do it, in the person of Augie Menicky, this wonderful man from Minnesota North, and his wife Joyce. The other members of the presidium, the vice presidents you have elected, represent a wide variety of experiences and gifts. Walter Rosine, Norman Sell, board of directors people, you are wonderful colleagues. And I know that with the commitments we all share, we're going to be able to put our past misunderstandings behind us to the extent that they exist, and they really don't exist in any significant way, and do great things for the Lord. For myself personally, I think some of you may have seen some press releases that have said that I want very much to spend a bit more time in personal relationships with my wife, With the district presidents, my children, my colleagues, I have worked such long hours, so many days a week, that my door has often been closed when people simply wanted to come in and give me a hug or some other physical or verbal suggestion. And I've not been all that available sometimes. I want to be a more people-oriented person than I have been able to be. I want to spend some time doing theology. It strikes me as rather poor stewardship that a man who had the opportunity to study in institutions where I have and to write some books and things should not have that pen working a little bit on some of the theological problems of our time. I want to get to know our partner churches better. I want to travel over there and learn how they tackle the mission in their country so that we can learn from them. Inter-Lutheran relationships, government opportunities to speak God's moral law to one another in this country. These are some of the things that I hope to do by God's grace and with the good assistance and support and direction of the board of directors, the vice presidents, and others in the leadership role of the Synod. If there were words that would guide this exercise for us, it would be the words of St. Paul to the Ephesians, well-known words, the words in chapter 4 where he talks about the bond of peace, the unity of the Spirit, and then reminds us that it is by speaking the truth in love that we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Speaking the truth in love. It is my prayer, as I accept this high honor that you have again bestowed on me, that you will help me do that, that you will ask the people at home to help each other and help all of us speak the truth, to speak the truth in love, the truth of Christ and his forgiveness and his life. He who has made us alive in Christ will surely help us carry that life to others. God help us, and God bless our efforts to that end. Thank you very much. Thank you.